But let's do get started. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, Jesus joins his disciples who are already in a discussion with the scribes. And he asks the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Verse 16. Then one of the crowd speaks up saying, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered the man, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." When the boy is brought to Jesus, the spirit convulses him and he falls to the ground and wallowed again, foaming at the mouth. Jesus then asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" "From childhood," is the answer which the father gives with this description. "And often he," speaking of the spirit, "has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." Here's what the response or the request of the father is. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, verse 23, Mark 9, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the text says, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." This man asked the Lord to help him grow his faith. We would do well to ask for the same in prayer, that the Lord would help our unbelief, that He would help us to grow our faith. Thus we're asking the question this evening. How can we experience growth in our faith? When we finish our discussion here this evening, I'm going to place a challenge before you. A challenge that I believe will not only help us grow in our faith, but will help many of our young people as well. And that challenge is going to be issued from the very things which we discuss within the next little bit. We grow in faith when we study the Word. Our faith came by hearing, Romans 10 and verse 17, and hearing it will cause our faith to grow. Paul, who mentored Timothy about his ministry, said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, to teaching." Give attention to the Word. Give attention to the things that you know from the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Give attention to the Word. The New American Standard Bible renders 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, closing with this phrase, "By it you may grow in respect to salvation." We must have a desire for the pure milk of the Word. It is a matter of our own salvation. When we neglect the Word of God, we neglect the study of it, we're putting our own salvation at risk. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 instructs, "Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." This Peter spoke as he was speaking of things concerning being steadfast and how to remain steadfast, which is synonymous with words like unwavering, unfaltering, persistent, committed, dedicated, firm, unswerving. steadfast faith. It only comes by a faith that is growing through the study of the Word. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 tells us of the risk that is involved in not studying the Word and growing our faith. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, there's a time period that is needed for study and for growth so that one can be ready to be a teacher of the Word. But he says, by this time you ought to be. That time limit has now passed, and you ought to be teachers. But instead, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It is only when we put into practice what we know and what we have learned from God's Word that our senses are trained to be able to tell the difference between what is good and what is evil. All good and all evil is not black and white. Some things are gray. They're in a gray area. And many fall into error in the gray areas because they have not had their senses exercised to train and to be able to decipher between good and evil. You see, we fall as men with a responsibility to teach others. And we need men that will be, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, act like men. Act like men and teach the younger men how to be men. Paul told young Timothy how to be a man and how to teach others to be men as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. With possibly four generations in view, Paul showed the way for godly men to pass along encouragement and warning, teaching and leading other godly men. The path was very simple. Paul took the forefront to be the leader. Timothy, whom he was personally training in the ways of a preacher, and he challenged Timothy to teach faithful men who would then teach others also. Consider where you are in that generational view. Are you the aged and wise individual who has had your senses trained by the study of God's Word so that you can now train others who will do the same? Are you that young Timothy who's learning and coming up in the way of righteousness, but still need some guidance, still need some teaching? Are you the faithful man that will be trained at the feet of the one you are now training? There are still others in the far distance that will benefit from your efforts in the study of God's Word. Being a godly man is hard. It's not easy. Paul made it clear there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as he goes on in that context to compare the Christian to a good soldier of Jesus Christ, verse 3, an athlete, verse 5, and the hardworking farmer in verse 6. Being a man of God is not easy. We need men of God who will train us younger men not only how to be a man of God, but how to teach that to those who are coming behind us. We need men that have studied God's Word and will share their knowledge and to teach others how to be men and showing us how to be men. The same would go for the ladies as well. We need godly women who have studied God's Word, who can teach other women to be godly women. We grow in our faith when we study God's Word, and we grow in faith when we pray. For relationships to be strengthened, there has to be communication. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing is about continual communication. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, if you will. Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Christians do pretty well with the latter end of this verse. We do pray. We make supplication. We give thanks to God. We make our requests known to Him. For whatever reason, though, we have a difficult time in letting go of the anxiousness when we have turned things over to God. We know that He cares. We know that He listens to our prayers. We know that He will care for us. And so we go to Him in prayer. We make the supplications. We give the thanks. We make our requests known to Him. But then we still want to hold on to the anxiousness. Why is that? The growth of our faith. It's the study of our time together this evening. Our faith has got to grow. It's got to grow beyond the point of us trying to hold on to the things of which we're anxious about. And when we give it to God, let it be His to work His will in our lives. Listen to the comforting words that follow in verse number 7. For those who can, be anxious for nothing, turn everything to God. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you give it to God? Can you give it to God and no longer hold on to it, trying to figure things out on your own? Can you give it to God and allow Him to work His will in your life? That's what it will take for you to grow in your faith. Someone may ask, well, why all this talk about prayer? Why is it that social media sites explode with comments on the status of those needing prayer? It's because Christians understand, Christians accept, believe, and practice Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is why we can be anxious about things, turn it over to God, let go of the anxiousness, and not have to be anxious anymore. Because we believe and we practice Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us, verse 14. He knows what it's like to feel weak, to feel tired, to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be beaten down by Satan's attempts and attacks on the Christian. He knows what it's like and He can sympathize with us. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. He knows all of the weaknesses that we have. He's experienced all the things which we experience, yet he was without sin. Therefore, he can and he is our high priest who can sympathize with us. Verse 16, this is why social media explodes with the request for prayer. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We know where help comes from. It comes from the Lord. We know where to go to get it. It's through prayer at the throne of God. We grow in our faith when we study the Word. We grow in our faith when we pray. We grow in faith when we worship. We should do everything possible to worship with the body of Christ whenever worship takes place, whether we be here or we be traveling. We should also find time for private worship, for family worship time. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. We know verse 25. Let's look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Back at the very beginning, let's be steadfast, unwavering, unfaltering, committed, firm. Let us hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We grow in our faith when we worship. We grow in our faith when we grow in love and good works, which is encouraged and stirred up when we are together assembled just as you and I are this evening. That's the message we ought to be teaching those who are not with us, though they know they should be. We ought to be teaching them that we miss the opportunity to encourage and stir up love and good works in them. And we miss the opportunity for them to stir up and encourage love and good works within us. We ought to have had enough time together that we can cite examples in which they have stirred us up. They have encouraged us. At the heart of worship, there seems to be three things that's indicated in a conversation which David had with God that is found in Psalm 131. Psalm 131, a very short psalm, just three verses in length. In verse number one, he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. At the heart of worship is humility, not pride, not presumption. If there is anyone in this world, if there is any being that knows us, it is God, and He knows us greater than we know ourselves. God knows the attitude which we have when we come before Him and we come before His throne. We must recognize in worship that we are always offering worship from a lesser to a greater. Man being lesser, being a sinner, being one who needs to come humbly before a holy and great and mighty and awesome God. We come to worship God in humility. We will grow in our faith. Verse 2 of Psalm 131, David said, Surely I have calmed and quieted my spirit like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. At the heart of worship is happiness. This happiness is encompassed in contentedness, having been weaned from self-sufficiency, so that our will is no longer our own will, but a will that is connected with God's will. We find happiness in worshiping God. We find happiness when we realize that we in our sinful state can come humbly before God in humility and worship Him, and He counts us as righteousness to do so. When we have the proper perspective in our worship, we will indeed be happy that God allows us to be a part of it, and we will want to be a part of it. Verse 3 of Psalm 131, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. At the heart of worship is hope. When our humility and satisfaction at the hands of the Lord are conjoined, they bring peace. They bring hope. And at the end of this earth, all things will be fulfilled. The Lord will fulfill all promises in which we now hope. Thus, we grow in faith when we worship. We grow in faith when we fellowship. As Christians, we should find people with common goals, common interests, and common dreams. People who will build us up and help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 states, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Robertson's Word Pictures explains that phrase, "do not be deceived," as, "do not be led astray by such a false philosophy of life." He's speaking that in connection with what he's just previously talked about some who did not believe or teach the resurrection. He says, "Do not be led astray by such a false philosophy of life that there is no resurrection." But the application for us today as Christians is made very clear. Do not be deceived when it comes to the companions which we have, the company which we keep. Evil company corrupts good habits. The truth is that when the company we keep is not the company that will keep us close to God, we're not keeping good company. Our godly habits will be corrupted, and it is only a matter of time. Do not be deceived into thinking that we can keep company that is not in keeping with God's will and not be affected by it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, Paul again speaking to young Timothy says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Even as a young babe in Christ, one can and ought to be an example to the believers in the various ways which Paul instructed Timothy to be. As 1 John chapter 1 indicates, mutual relationship building is in focus when we put forth the effort to help others in reaching their goal of heaven, for we encourage our own effort. The more we help others try to reach the goal of heaven, the more we encourage and help our own efforts to reach it. Enjoyment ought to come through the realization of the fellowship which we enjoy. That the more time we spend with others who are trying to grow in their faith, the more we ourselves will grow in the faith. That's why I love what Jeff says to new Christians following their baptism. When he has the opportunity to encourage them immediately following their baptism. And I've asked him to write down exactly what he said so that I make sure and get it correct as he would have it worded. He says, "Now that you are a Christian, please know that Satan has lost a significant battle. However, he will continue to wage a war against your soul. In order to stand firm in your faith, I would like to encourage you to do three things. First, let God talk to you every day. He does this through His Word. Spend time in it every day and let it strengthen your faith. That's point number one. We grow in our faith and we study God's Word. Secondly, Jeff says, talk to God every day. You do this through prayer. Prayer involves both supplication and thanksgiving. In your prayers, you will ask God to strengthen your faith and to care for those you love. You will also ask Him for the needs in your life. But don't forget to thank Him for the blessings He bestows and for the love He has shown toward you. Point number two. We grow in our faith when we pray. Point number three, we grow in our faith when we worship. Point number four, we grow in our faith when we fellowship, is summed up in this final thing, which Jeff encourages them to do. Look for opportunities to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. These will encourage you in your faith and challenge you to grow a little more each day. They will also confront you if they see you are drifting from the faith, but it is for your good. That's what's done when we gather together for worship and we spend time fellowshipping with one another, spending time at the mall and at the ball game, spending time sitting in the doctor's office, sitting around a dinner table together. Strengthen our faith. We encourage one another. Jeff adds this admonition at the very end. If you will do these three things, you will be faithful in your Christian walk. If you spend time every day letting God talk to you, and you spend time every day talking to God in prayer, and you spend time every day with brothers and sisters in Christ who will encourage you and build you up and strengthen you and strengthen your faith, it will be more difficult for you to fall in this Christian life. Doing these things aforementioned sets us up for growth in the final area, the trials of life. We grow in our faith when we face trials of life. No one enjoys the difficulties of life. No one likes to experience them. Yet the Scriptures teach that enduring through trials strengthens and grows our faith. Before we face trials, we should build our faith. While we are facing trials, we should exercise our faith. After the trials have been faced, we should encourage our faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, endurance, perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. As we face the trials of life and we exercise our faith, we will find our weaknesses, places in which we need to move on to perfection, move towards completeness so that we do not lack in those areas. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9 shows that the growing of our faith leads to the salvation of our soul. And a great example has been given to us, Hebrews 5 and verse 8, our Savior, who grew as He suffered in the things of this life. For though He was a son, yet He learned obedience through the things which He suffered. David's Psalm 142 is a prayer to God that helped David to get back on the right track, to get back in a fellowship with God. And there we find three things which he did. He vocalized his problem. He envisioned the power and provision of the Lord. And he allowed God to lead him to victory. Let's look at these a little closer. Psalm 142. David vocalized his problem. He cried to the Lord, pouring out his complaints, verses 1 and 2. And he asked the Lord, listen to my cry, verse 6. Attend to my cry, or listen to it. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. David envisioned the power and the provision of the Lord, remembering the power that God once had in his life and realizing that God still had that power. He still had that ability to work in his life. And thus he cried out, "You are my refuge," verse 5. "I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, 'You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.'" With David's vocalization of his problem and with his envisioning the power and the provision of the Lord, he was led on to victory with God's help. "Bring my soul out of prison," he said, verse 7, "that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." God has given us many resources in overcoming the difficulties of life, but his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, has brought the ultimate victory over sin and death. God's power is greater than our problems, and we will realize that God's power is indeed greater than our problems when we grow in faith through a study of the Word, through prayer, through worship, through fellowship, and even through the trials life. God's power is greater than our problems. Are we growing in our faith? Have we asked God to help our unbelief? As the man of Mark 9. If we're not growing in our faith individually, then this congregation cannot and will not reach her full potential for growth in the faith. Here's my challenge to you. Lads to Leaders, Leaderettes, as given on their website, is a tool churches of Christ can use to help prepare their youth and adults for service in the kingdom of God and help develop their overall leadership potential. Lads to Leaders, Leaderettes is more than just attending a youth rally or participating in a Bible Bowl. We offer a variety of Bible-based class programs and materials and events for preschoolers through adults. The goal of Lads to Leaders, Leaderettes is to provide churches of Christ with effective year-round leadership training tools that can be adapted to individual congregational needs. Students are encouraged to become more involved at their home congregations through year-round events. The purpose of Lads to Leaders, Leaderettes is to help local congregations instill the Word of God into youth and adults so that they will stand firm in the faith. Teaching students to do Bible things in Bible ways is the essence of Lads to Leaders, Leaderettes. 14 students, 18 adults, signed up to participate this year in Lads to Leaders. Not all of those are attending the convention, but they have completed some form of work that is a part of that program. I'm not asking you to be a part of the program because it is a program. I'm asking you to be a part of the program because of what it offers. It fosters a sense of relationships. And if it were not for our relationship with Jesus Christ, not a single one of us would be here this evening. But because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with one another, we find it not only important but imperative that we be here to encourage one another and to stir up love and good works. Lads to Leaders program is designed to foster those relationships and to instill those same goals and mindset in our young people. do you happen to read the Bible throughout the year? Read the Old Testament or the New Testament, or read both in a calendar year? Parade of Winners is designed to encourage young people to read their Bible. Read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, read both of them. And they are recognized for it. Maybe you're more of one of the minds that is able to memorize things. Centurion of Scripture is an event category in which you are able to memorize Scripture in allotments of tens, fifties, or hundreds. Memorize 100 verses in a year, and you're recognized for your efforts. Know the books. Can you say the books of the Bible? Can you say them in order? Many of our young people can. Not only can they say the books of the Bible in order, Old and New Testament, but some of them have strived to go beyond the calling and name the themes of each book so that they know what's the most important thing or thought, idea expressed within that book. Do you like to make visits? Visits at the hospital, the nursing home, the funeral home. Visit with a neighbor across the street. Visit in the homes of others. Do you like making phone calls to encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ, or just to check on someone that you know? That's Good Samaritan. It's about showing them how to live the life of a Christian. Living in second mile service, not in first mile service, but in the second mile, going above and beyond the call of duty. You do those things? My challenge to you is to let it be known. No, I'm not asking you to gloat about it. I'm not asking you to put your name forward to boast about it, brag about it. I'm asking you to put your name forward so that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we can teach and train faithful men who will train others also. I'm asking you and challenging you to step to the forefront and show our young people that the Word of God is important to you, and that because of it, its importance to you, that you're going to teach them that it's important to them, and by it being important to them, that they ought to do these things. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8 is our theme for this year at Lads to Leaders. Here am I, send me. Isaiah answered the call when God said, "Whom shall we send? Who shall go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Who's going to grow in their faith and challenge all others around them to grow in their faith? Who's going to step to the forefront and be a man of God who will teach us younger men how to be men of God? Not only teach us by telling us what to do, but by showing us how to do it. Who will step to the forefront and show and encourage the youngest of our students to do the same? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? John 3 and verse 16. Are you willing to turn away from the sin that's in your life, which you so willfully commit? Luke 13:3. Are you willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God? Romans 10:9-10. Are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Are you willing to live a life of service to God, walking in the light as He is in light? 1 John 1:7-9. Until death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, or until He comes again. Are you ready for the judgment day? It's a question you have no choice but to ask yourself. Are you ready for the judgment day? You see, we must get serious about our faith. As it was pointed out so many times in the various passages which we've read this evening, faith that leads to salvation. We've got to get serious about it. Not only for our own well-being, but for our children as well. Lads to Leaders, Leaderette's annual report says, in a retention study, we found that 85% of the youth who participated in the program remained faithful to the Lord's church. 85%. You want a program that's helping young people become faithful, remain faithful, and stick it out through thick or thin? Lads to Leaders program is doing that. It's not the program. It's what the program encourages. It's what it fosters. A relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're going to grow our faith, it's going to be by the same means. By study of God's Word. By prayer. By worship. By fellowship. And by going through the trials of life together. Tonight I pray that you will accept our challenge. You will accept the challenge to help our young people and encourage them by your participation. Many of you already read the Bible in a calendar year. Why not let it be known so our young people can see that the Word of God is important to you and not just the leaders of the Lads to Leaders program? Why not show them that you can be a good Samaritan and that you do that on a regular basis? Not for the praise or the notoriety that comes with it, but for the simple fact of showing them how to be men and women of God. So I beg and I plead with you this evening. Let's get started. Tuesday morning, Lads to Leaders program for 2015 will begin. We will start the program, start the year-round events, Good Samaritan, Know the Books, Parade of Winners, Centurion of Scripture, among others. Will you join with 14 students and 18 adults who've already committed themselves to being a part of fostering faith? Let's get started. Tonight, if you need to get started in the Christian walk, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.